The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's good, fellas. God bless you. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Psalms 19 and verse 14. I want us to notice this verse, and we're going to go slowly over this verse tonight to kind of lay the platform whereby we can understand exactly what God is bringing to our attention. The Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth." Now, we understand exactly what that is all about. The words of your mouth is that which proceeds out of your mouth, your speech, your talk, the things that you are being able to convey to others through the lips and through the words that you speak. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart." You know, a lot of times we judge somebody by their words. It's very hard to judge somebody by what they're meditating on. However, I will tell you this, what a person meditates on is the direction that they will go. And so the Bible says here, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Now, what does that mean? That means that God, in his sight, sees your words, but everybody else does too. Everybody else can see the words or be able to hear the words that you speak. So everybody has that in common with God. So all of us tonight can be able to see the words or be able to understand the words that somebody speaks. But not everybody can understand the meditation of the heart. But God says that those meditations of the heart are also in his sight. So watch this. The Bible says, "And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So here's a question for you tonight, not just talking about your words, but your thought life. Is your thought life, the very things that you meditate upon, are those things acceptable in God's sight? You know, it's one thing for you to say something and maybe it's a bad word and your parents come to you and your parents say, "You ought not to say that. That is a bad word." It's one thing for you to tell a joke and perhaps somebody come to you and they say, "You shouldn't have said that because that was not a good joke." It is one thing for you to get mad while perhaps going about and doing your business, whether it's using a saw or whether it's using a hammer or some other type of tool or device, and all of a sudden something slips and it slips in a wrong way and it hurts your finger or it hurts your arm, and you begin to say things maybe angrily or say things in a way that you ought not to say them. And it's one thing for somebody to pass a judgment on the things that you say. But can I tell you, you would never say the things that you said had you not have thought them first. And so the Bible talks here about, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable." You know, if you work on what you're thinking about, then what you say will take care of itself. You didn't get that, did you? I said, if you will work on what you think about, then what you say will take care of itself. So if we would spend less time talking and more time thinking, we would spend less time hurting and more time helping. If we would spend more time thinking about the things that perhaps we should not say, rather than saying the things that we should not say, we could be helpful to a lot of people around us. So the Bible does say, as I reiterate it, the Bible says that, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord," it says, "my strength and my redeemer." So what is it, what are some things that you and I ought to meditate on before we do? What are some things tonight, if we could categorize, what are some things tonight that God would say, you need to make sure that you meditate on these things before you do them? What are some of those things? Well, it just so happens that you have a Bible tonight that gives you answers. And by the way, there's never a question that God does not have an answer for. There is never a puzzle that God cannot figure out. There is never an equation that God does not know the end result of. All right? With that in mind, let's do this. Let's do a Bible study tonight that shows us specifically in the Bible what is acceptable to God. A matter of fact, the Bible says in these five words that I pointed out to you this morning, be acceptable in thy sight. So I want to speak to you tonight on being acceptable in God's sight. Now, by the way, if your parents, they tell you to do something and you know what is expected of you to do, it is easier to do those things because why? You know what is expected of you to do. So I'm hoping tonight that by the time we get done the message, you'll know tonight what God expects of you to do. It's a whole lot easier to please somebody if you know what they expect. It's a whole lot easier to get along with somebody if you know what they expect. You'll have better husband-wife relationship if you know what is expected in that husband-wife relationship. You'll have a whole lot better friendship if you know what is expected in that friendship and what the other person in the friendship expects of you. May I say tonight, you'll have a whole lot better relationship with God if you know what God expects. So let's look at it. Let's use our Bibles tonight. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and in verse 10, the Bible says this. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. Now listen to it. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written, it says, was upright, even words of truth. All right, so we understand this, that God is talking about words. Over in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32, the Bible says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. So statement number one, we ought to meditate on what we say before we say them with our lips. So meditate on what you say before you say them with your lips. So think about something before you say it. Spurgeon said that a wise man will always think twice before he says one word. All right? And so think about something. How many of you, don't raise your hand out of confession, but how many of you said something to your spouse, it did not set well, it did not resonate well, and because of that, the relationship had a little bit of friction going on? How many of you have said something to your parents that did not resonate with them, and so there was a problem there going on with that parent-child relationship? How many of you at work, you said something you should not have said, and it got you in trouble? All right? So I'm saying this. We ought to meditate before we say something with our lips. All right? So think about it before you say it. Just because you think it does not mean that you ought to be prompted to say it. Now, by the way, if it's good and it's uplifting, perhaps you ought to say more of those things than being negative and downtrodden. Perhaps you, oh my, it's quiet in the church house tonight. May I say, you ought to decide to be somebody that's more of a help than a hurt. If you're saying things to hurt your spouse, you're saying things to hurt your children, it might be that you need to change what you're saying. If you're saying things to hurt your friends, it might be that you need to change what you're saying. You say, well, preacher, if I can't say something to hurt somebody, then maybe I ought not to say anything at all. You're catching on. Maybe you ought not to say anything at all. It would be better for you to say nothing and not have a fight than it would be for you to say the wrong things and have a fight. Why in the world do some people go along in life trying to pick a fight? Why is it that you try to say things that you know it's going to be in a provoking fashion whereby it's going to damage your relationship? Well, you say, well, somebody needs to straighten them out, but it's not you. Do we realize that God has not resigned and put you in charge? Do we realize that God wants to work in people's lives? Do we realize that? Okay, statement number one, we ought to meditate before we say something. Meditate before you use your lips. So be careful not to use your lips. As a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible talks about how we're supposed to guard the heart because out of it flow the issues. That's the decisions of life. All right? So what do? We choose what is acceptable in the sight of God with our lips. Statement number one. Statement number two, with our judgments. Choose what is acceptable in the sight of God with your judgments. Now, what do you mean? I mean, you think on it before you pass a judgment. Well, you know, so-and-so got hurt. It must mean that God is judging them. No, it might mean that God is trying to bless them by teaching them a lesson. And the only way that God could teach them that lesson is through that which is a hurt. So God is using the hurt to bring them closer to Him, not drive them farther away from Him. So sometimes God allows judgments, but you be careful not to pass a judgment on somebody that's being judged because you do not know why they're being judged. Well, you know, that person had a flat tire. It must be God judging them. No, it might be that maybe they put the tire on wrong. It might be they ran over something that you yourself left in the driveway. Now, look, here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 3. The Bible says, and to do justice and judgment is more acceptable, it says, to the Lord than sacrifice. All right? So it is better to do a judgment. It is better to do that which is justice than to sacrifice. But wait a minute. As we learned a moment ago, it might be good before you pass a judgment, before you pass that which is a ruling, if you will, please, to think. Think things totally through. You know, the reason most businessmen make lousy decisions is because they jerk the wheel and they make a decision too quick. The reason that people get into arguments inside of the house is because they speak too quick. And so be very careful. You say, well, I know what my husband meant by that. I know what my wife meant by that. You can't judge somebody else's motives. You don't know what anybody meant. I'm not being mean, but you don't even know what you meant. Well, you know, they looked at me, and they looked at me, and they were mean with their eyes. You may, but this is me, okay? I'm not saying you have to be mean. I don't like cats. Now, don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me. If you love cats and you're a cat lover, I love you because you love your cats. But cats, sometimes I look at them and I look at those eyes and it reminds me of tiger eyes. Okay, we don't need to go there. But I'm saying this, I'm saying be careful. You know, you can look at somebody. Now, I'm not saying you got to walk around all the time with a big smile. I'm not saying that. Life is real. When you have kidney stones, it's hard to smile. When you have a toothache, it's hard to smile. When you're going through the travails of life, it's hard to smile. When all of a sudden you tried to catch the pig and the pig kissed you, it's hard to smile. But what I'm saying is don't be so, look, don't be the Baptist Sherlock Holmes. Well, let me evaluate this. Let me think it through. Let me see what they really, really meant. Well, first off, you will probably never get to the bottom of it. So I'm saying this, I'm saying meditate on some things, okay? Meditate with yourself before you use your lips. Meditate, if you will, with God helping you before you pass a judgment. Meditate, are you listening to me? Before you decide to serve a certain way. How many times people get into something and they say, I didn't know it was going to be this way. Now I got into it and I want out of it. Why is it that people jump in and jump out of ministries? One week they want to be a bus captain, next week they don't. One week they want to be a Sunday school teacher, next week they don't. You know why? I'll tell you why. Simply because sometimes they do not evaluate the cost of what it is before they dive into it. You know, it does cost to build a house. It does cost to have children. It does cost to do things right. It does cost to prepare the way of others. The book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says, and let not your good be evil spoken of. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 14, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat, it says, and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, the Bible says in these things, it says, serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. All right? So God says it is acceptable to serve Him. But not everybody has the same type of gifts. You know, some people can get up and teach, and it's great, it's wonderful, and they love it, and they get into it. Then other people get up to teach, and they say, this is not for me. Some people get up to sing. And some people, when they get up to sing, you know, they say, well, this is not for me. And if they don't sing well, other people say, I agree. But I'm saying evaluate where the service should be, you know. Now, everybody ought to serve Jesus Christ. Yeah. Everybody ought to be doing something for Jesus Christ. But not everybody is skilled at the same level as somebody else. Some people are more gifted. Some people have more gifts than other people. Now, don't compare yourself, because the Bible says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So don't compare yourself. Don't devaluate yourself. Well, you know, I only know how to play two instruments. They know how to play nine instruments. So I guess I'm no good. Well, there's some people who don't know how to play any instruments. Well, you know, I tell you what, I only know how to hit a certain note in this one song, and I've been practicing the one song for 22 years. But that's the only song I know. But some people don't know any songs. Well, all I can do is work on a bus. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. Do you realize how many people would love to be able to work on a bus?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we devalue it. We cast down underfoot that which we're doing for God, and we don't consider it a great work. But anything that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ is a great work. When you stand outside and you shake hands and you smile at people, that's a great work. When you encourage somebody, that's a great work. When you drop somebody a note, that's a great work. When you text somebody and try and help them to get closer to the Lord Jesus, that's a great work. When you usher, that's a great work. When you sing in the choir, that's a great work. When you work in the nursery, that's a great work. When you work in that which is the gems and jewels, that's a great work. When you work on a bus route, that's a great work. Whether you're teaching in A Sunday school or B Sunday school or children's class or a teen class or an adult class, hey, I'm telling you, that's a great work. Don't devaluate those things of serving God. Wait a minute. We should meditate on some things. Think about these things before we speak them, before we judge them, before we serve, before we sacrifice. You know, you cannot sacrifice everywhere. You know, we have a growing church. Did you know that? You know, we have ministries that are being added on all the time. You know, you cannot be in all the ministries. You can't do everything. Simple illustration, you can't be in the nursery right now and in the auditorium. Doesn't work. You said, yes, I can. I have a split personality, but you don't have a split body. It doesn't work. You cannot play in the orchestra and be singing in the choir at the same time. It doesn't work. You cannot go soul winning, if you will, and work in the teen department with the teenagers, plus go out with the adult soul winning on Thursday night. Two separate times, two separate directions. Doesn't work. You can't work in the discipleship program on Sunday nights at 5 o'clock and disciple young believers and church members that are new. You cannot do that and also work in the Bible Blazers, or also be in the Young Fundamentalists, or also be in the choir or another ministry we're getting ready to start. You can't do those things. You have to decide that you're going to get involved in one place and give yourself to that one place. See, in larger churches, you don't have the problem with church hopping as much as you do ministry hopping. Well, you know, I feel like, and so many people will come to me and they'll say, oh, preacher, I feel like that God wants me in the bus ministry. Wow, I know that's where God wants me to serve. I've got to do it. I've got to be in the bus ministry. Then all of a sudden, a month and a half goes by and they come back and they say, oh, preacher, I tell you what, God is leading me out of the bus ministry. I feel like God wants me to help out in the senior saint class. Well, you know, and then month and a half, preacher, I really believe that God wants me to work with children. See, the problem is when you start working in the bus ministry, people give their hearts to you. Then all of a sudden you back out. Then you get involved in, say, the senior saints, and then people give their hearts to you. And then you back out. Then all of a sudden you get involved in our special needs ministry, Gems and Jewels, and then you back out. You know, there has to be some stability in your life. Amen. There has to be. Can I tell you that the ministry, just like anything else, has its ups and downs. Amen. You don't divorce your husband because you have a down. No more than you dive out of a ministry or dive out of a church because it's a certain down. You don't do that. You don't make decisions that are emotionally based. Well, I don't think God wants me in that church anymore because, after all, my best friend is no longer my best friend. Well, hopefully you're not making your decision of going to church based on a best friend. Hopefully you're making a decision about coming to a Bible-believing Baptist church that preaches pure doctrine, because this is a place you can plug into and you can grow as a believer in Christ. Amen. Hopefully you're coming to church because you look at this as being, that was the institution that Jesus Christ himself established, and you're saying that, hey, I want to be in such an institution where I can grow thereby and be able to serve Jesus Christ. But it's not always rosy. Well, you know, I tell you what, I just don't feel loved. Well, maybe if you practice loving, you will feel loved. Oh, come on. You cannot be an individual, and I say this often, and you say, well, you're picking on me. No, I'm just picking on the world. But you cannot be an individual that comes to church, and as soon as church is over, you walk out, you get in your car, you drive away, and you don't stay around. Now, we don't want you to stay around to midnight. But you got to stay around long enough. Look, if you just go out in the lobby, okay? Let me have these two guys come. If you just stay out in the lobby and you're just standing there, there's going to be enough people pass you by that's going to shake your hand. Just by you standing there. If you stand there long enough, probably the same two guys are going to come by and shake your hand again. And because they have nothing better to do, you say, well, then all I've got is two friends. That's better than what you had a minute ago. Because you just got done saying you didn't have any friends. You know, everybody in here has something in common. We have people in this room that are diabetic. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but we have people in this room that's diabetic. Did you know that those that have diabetes, you know, they've got certain eating habits that they have to adhere to? That means they have to go to certain type of restaurants. Only eat certain types of foods. Hello? You know, we got people in our church that love to read and study. We got other people in our church that love to hunt and fish. We got other people in our church that love to read and study while they hunt and fish. All right? Wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so I'm saying this. Meditate. Think some things through before you speak with your lips, before you pass a judgment, before you render a service, before you sacrifice. Think some things through. Now, don't spend all day thinking it through. Well, you know, I've been thinking for about 2 years now as to what God would have me to do, and I'm almost ready to make a decision. You have thought way too long. Matter of fact, if you're that type of person, here's what you've probably done. You have probably thought your way into it and thought your way out of it and thought your way into it and thought your way out of it and thought your way into it and thought your way out of it multiple times. You have probably talked yourself into it, then talked yourself out of it, then talked yourself. Come on, I know people sitting in this room that you have talked yourself into soul winning, but by the time soul winning gets here, you talk yourself out of it. Then the next week you talk yourself into something else, and then you talk yourself out of it. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen, be careful about the sacrifices that you make and make sure you give yourself to the sacrifice. I'm going somewhere with this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound, it says, to your account. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible says, but I have all and abound and I am full and having received, it says, of Epaphroditus, it says, the things which were sent from you, it says, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. All right, so what do? I look for the ministry that God would have me to get in that would be well-pleasing to Him. And I give it everything I've got, being well-pleasing to Him. Years ago, God called me to preach back in 1982, June 26. Never will forget the night. God from heaven spoke to my heart. I knew it just as sure as the nose that's on my face that God had appointed me in the direction of preaching the Bible. Now, can I tell you, I am perfectly happy with preaching the Bible. I don't want to be a doctor, and I thank God for those that are. I don't want to be a dentist, and I thank God for those that are. I don't want to be a lawyer, and I thank God for those that have that calling of God on their life. I thank God for those that have the calling on their life. I said this the other day. You are either called, I believe, to be a preacher, or you're called to support a preacher. You're either called to do something in the ministry full-time or you're called to support those that are called to do things in the ministry full-time. Amen. You have to find out what God has called you to do. Amen. And you have to decide that that is the remnant and be satisfied with it. Amen. Be satisfied with it. I love Brother Butler, but I don't want to be Brother Butler. I love Brother Crutcher, but I don't want to be Brother Crutcher. I mean, I love Brother Palmore, and I love Brother Jonathan, and I love Brother Craig, but I don't want to be these guys. I don't want to copy their personalities. I don't want to try and mimic them and walk like them and talk like them and have their type of demeanor in their life. I don't want to do that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I want to be the best Mike Wells that Mike Wells can be. And you be satisfied with the way God made you. Well, and we live in such an unsatisfied nation. Well, I wish, and the grass always, listen to me, beloved, the grass always looks greener on the other side. You know, well, I tell you what, I don't like this church now. What happened? You liked it a month ago. But that's when everything was going right. That's when you had friends. That's when you were busy serving Jesus Christ. Now wait, what? I'm not getting on to you. I'm just telling you reality. I'm just telling you how it really is. We have to decide, look, when I married my wife and I took those vows, I said, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, till death do us part. That means that we are together. We are one flesh. Hello? Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden she gets sick. And I say, oh, she's sick. Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't marry her to be sick. I married her when she was well. Therefore, I'm going to leave her. That's sorry.
Amen.
If she gets sick, I'm supposed to be beside her and help her and love her and be able to serve her. You know, all of a sudden, God blesses us with some finances. Well, thank God for that. God all of a sudden takes the finances away. Thank God for that. Listen, I'm saying this. You don't build a relationship based on circumstances, and you don't build whether you stay in a church or leave a church or stay in a ministry or leave a ministry based on how you feel. You get over the feeling part. Feelings come and go. All right, watch this. You ready? So you come to church one day, and boy, I preach one of those messages that are like, whoo. And you leave here saying, wow. Boy, that was so good. I'm already a member of the church, but that was so good, I want to join again. Then all of a sudden, one night, I get up and I preach a bomb. I turn to the wrong scripture. Every word in the verse I mispronounce. I tell a joke, and it wasn't funny. I get up and I stumble across the platform like I'm on some type of pain medicine for a tooth. You cannot judge a service, a church, based on one service. You can't do that. You cannot build or end a relationship based on one circumstance. Well, you know, my friend was my friend, and 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 my friend was my friend until they did that. Now that they did that, they're no longer my friend. That's ridiculous. Where's the depth of your love? Where's the depth of your forgiveness? Where's the depth, if you would please, of your patience with that individual? I'm saying this. I'm saying the Bible talks here about that which is sacrifices. And then this, okay, meditate on the way you live. I'm almost done. I've got one more after this and closing illustration. I'm done. But meditate on the way you live. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. The Bible says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, the Bible says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Listen, for the Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye, it says, are in the light of the Lord and walk as the children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Listen to what it says in verse 10, Ephesians 5, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's talking about right living. Right living. Okay, here we go. Illustration we gave this morning. Ready? Ready? Devil. Got it? Spiritual God. Here we go. Devil. Now I'm going to show you. I told you it was kind of like a part two, and this is where I'm going to close it down, except for the last point. Watch this, okay? So you got the world, the flesh, and the devil. Everything that's evil, everything that's corrupt, everything that's dark, everything that's nasty, everything that is a terrible devil right here. All right, then you got everything that's righteous. Or, watch, I want to show you something. So I get up in the morning and I meditate. Now, by the way, you learn the works of the flesh, and you can read about that in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and kind of follow it through, the works of the flesh versus that which is the fruit of the Spirit. With everything that I just told you, you can classify it if it's spiritual or fleshly according to Galatians chapter 5. Is your word spiritual? Are they not spiritual? Is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be hurtful? Is it going to bear fruit? Is it going to destroy fruit? Your lips. Is it going to help you to grow in the Lord? Is it not going to help you to grow in the Lord? Is it going to promote somebody? Is it going to demote somebody? Is it going to take and inspire somebody? Is it not going to inspire somebody? Is it going to be something that tears somebody down? Is it going to be somebody or that lifts somebody up? Is it going to be somebody that tears somebody down? You can decide, and you can decide that and meditate on that before it ever comes out of your lips. You don't have to be somebody that is ultra-destructive like the atomic bomb, boom, getting ready to explode. All right, so you meditate on those judgments. Is your judgments going to be that which is constructive, or is it going to be destructive? Your judgments. Is it going to be that will sharpen someone, or is it going to be that which dulls someone? Your judgments. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. Or is your judgments reasonable, or is your judgments unreasonable? Is your judgments harsh and quick, or is your judgments patient, bound with kindness? What is your judgments? Meditate on those things. Meditate on your service. I get in something, and then I get out of something. I start something, and then I don't finish something. I'm faithful for a little while, and then I quit something. I'm saying meditate on your service. What do you do? Wait a minute, watch this. Meditate on your sacrifices. Jesus sacrificed, yea, himself, for the sins of all humanity. What are you sacrificing for? I'm sacrificing to make more money. I'm sacrificing for me. 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 It's all about me. Or are you sacrificing for Him? Meditate on those things. What about your living? You ready? When you're living for God, you want to glorify Him in everything you do. You're not concerned about what the world says about your dress and if it's acceptable. You're concerned about what God says about your dress and if it's acceptable. I find that when people start to backslide, ladies, they'll get their dresses, they go shorter and shorter and shorter. Many times men would get their hair and it would go longer, longer, longer. They start watching things that they should not watch. And by the way, you know, nobody has to spoon feed you. You know. You know. Is it godly or is it not godly? Is it right or is it not right? Is it going to illy affect you, or is it going to earnestly help you? Watch this. I'm almost done. Stay with me, guys, for a moment. Meditate on your prayers. This is the last one. Here it is. Look at it, please, if you don't mind. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm done here. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 1. The Bible says, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made, it says, for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life, the Bible says, in all godliness and honesty. Watch what it says in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right, now wait a minute. So here's what he says about praying for people. You pray, now you think about these things. You think about people. Now don't just flippantly, well, dear God, I pray that you would bless Brother Butler. Think about Brother Butler. What are some needs that he may be facing in his life as the college year starts up? What are some pressures that he may be facing in his life as a college administrator with new children coming in? And as you write those things down, you earnestly pray for him as you think about those things. You actually become somebody that is serious about prayer. Think about Brother Crutcher as the academy principal. Think about all the pressures he has with an abundance of new students now that's coming into our academy this coming fall. Okay, what are some of the pressures and some of the complexities that he's going to face? Think about him as a Spanish director in our Spanish department. Think about him as the disciplinary dean. Think about both of these men as Sunday school teachers. Think about some of the other responsibilities they bear. Think about Brother Palmore with the financial load that I put him under to help me financially guide and walk in the right direction so that things will be Christ-honoring and above board in every financial aspect of our church. Think about Brother Palmore as he helps to guide the music program. Think about Brother Craig, and he's over the activities for our church, and also he's over the senior saint department, and these guys, Sunday school teachers, and Brother Jonathan with the youth, and also over the media department, and think about all the pressures. Now here's what I'm saying, I'm almost done, but here's what I'm saying. Think about your wife, think about this. Think about your wife at home, rearing the children that she has. Think about things that she faces during the day. Think about those kids not being behaved. Think about the house being a wreck. Think about the laundry she needs to do. Think about the cooking she is trying to accomplish. Think about the pressures that she has of trying to guide little minds. You know, when you begin to really think and evaluate people, you realize that life is just not as easy as it seems. Think about your husband that's worked a long, hard day out in the hot sun. Think about that when he comes home, all he wants to do is take a nap, get a good meal, and go count sheep. But he's worked in the hot sun all day. Or maybe he works in one of the offices in downtown Dallas or one of the suburbs, and he works in an office, and he's there all day chasing papers and there all day working on the computer and putting out all sorts of different spreadsheets and having meetings. And think about how many employees he is over, and think about the stress. See, what I'm saying is this. If we would meditate, think about these things, then you will now begin to give people a little bit more room to breathe. Because it's not just happening like that. We want everybody to come to church, and I wish it was that way. I wish that we'd all come to church and we'd smile. We'd all come to church and we'd have halos around our head. Walk down the hallway and just smile. Isn't God so good? And He is. Amen. He is. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you begin to think about what somebody else is going through, when you begin to think about their life, when you begin to think about how they're living, you might give somebody else a little bit of space for grace. You might help them a little bit. Well, all she does is she stays home all day, and I just don't see what she... And switch places. You stay home all day. Oh, you say it's nothing. Have you as a man ever tried to wash clothes? I kid you not. When I was in Bible college, here's what they told me. They said, bleach makes everything clean. I caught it. I put all my clothes in the washer, all of them. Everything. Suits. Everything. Poured a little bit of bleach in. I said, no. A little bit? No. I want to be the cleanest guy in college. So I took a half a bottle. Poured it in. Then somebody told me you need to use soap. Took a half a carton. Can I tell you that I had a mess, not just in the washer, but out of the washer, all over the floor, and the clothes, I never wore them. They were ruined. You know why? Because I listened to what somebody said instead of meditating, thinking, and then acting. I never will forget the first swing set we ever had. Who needs instructions? We are men. Never will forget it. Went out back, got my brother to help me. We started putting this thing together. Man, it looked good. And I don't know why they put in all those extra parts. But reading the instructions would have helped. Don't tell my wife this. My wife wanted one of those gliders. I bought her a glider. I put it together. Those things that are called spacers are still in the top drawer in my bedroom because I forgot to put them in. So I'm just kind of hoping that it never runs out of space because it won't glide no more. Are you listening to me? You know, you can think that you know what is best and knee-jerk. Come on. Well, I think this is where the oil goes. Well, I think the tire would stay on with just three lugs. Well, you know, if I just put that in the oven instead of doing what it said, I'll get a better result. You'll get a result. Here's what happens, though. The devil tries to get me. The Bible says, listen to me now. He's the father of lies. He throws fiery darts. So he tries to get me to go his way. Bible talks about God, yea, Holy Spirit, is a voice. It's not a shouting voice. Bible talks about it's a sort of like a still voice, silent voice, quiet voice. Whispering voice. Watch this. Here, have a seat. So here's what happens. In preaching, here's what happens. It's the people that's not right with God most of the time that gets the attention of the people that are trying to listen. Most of the time. I mean, you watch the person sitting next to you. Watch this. It'll tell you their desire to learn the Bible on whether they're paying attention or not. If they're not paying attention and they got their little phone out, they've just got to get that last minute text in because after all, they're losing $1.5 million worth of stock. And he's 12. Then probably it's not all that important. When somebody's up, say Dr. Brown comes, he's preaching, and then you see two teenagers talking while the preacher is preaching, probably what he is saying, I would dare say, probably more important than what they're saying. But it's always those that are heading this direction that speak the loudest, try to get the attention more, Okay, here it is. I'm done. One verse. Here it is. Let me give it to you. I'm done. Here it is. I promise. I'm done. Romans chapter 12. Here's what it says. Verse 2. Be not conformed, that's the outwardness, to this world, but be transformed, that's the inwardness, by the renewing of your mind, that's the meditating part, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So first, it's in here. As a man thinketh, so is he. Show me what you're thinking today, I'll show you what direction you'll be heading tomorrow. Person's thinking about joining the church, I'll probably show you what direction you're going to go. Person thinking about leaving the church, I'll probably tell you what direction you're going to go. Person thinking about, man, I want to learn more about soul winning, I'll probably tell you what direction you're going to go. Person thinking about, man, I want to learn more Bible, I'll probably tell you what direction you're heading. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. The problem is, most of the time when we think it, we don't think it to ourselves. We say it with our words. So here's a husband loving God, praising God, coming to church. Man, it's so good. Here's a discouraged wife, tells the husband, man, I tell you what, brings his spirit way down. For you know what? He can't lead you because you brought him down. Same with the children. You know how many parents I've seen? I don't know what you preached. Something about joy or something? At camp? You did preach at camp, right? About the words? Yeah. And so those words can bring somebody down. Really can. So I'm saying this tonight. Here we go. Being acceptable in the sight of God. Are you? Are you acceptable? Well, preacher, I think I am what I'm saying. But what are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? Person thinks about giving up long enough, eventually they will. Person thinks about helping somebody long enough, eventually they will. Come on. Person thinks about going soul winning long enough, eventually they will. Person thinks about helping somebody long enough, eventually they will. Person thinks about being critical long enough, eventually they will. Person thinks about caring for others long enough, eventually they will. And they normally, whatever they're thinking, they're going to share it to the closest person to them. Then that helps them to think, and it helps them to act. So what are you doing to draw people that away, or to draw people that away?
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.